The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
¿Qué tal, mi gente? Te saluda Emanuel González de Mark Wahlberg Auto Group. Somos la agencia más grande de Chevrolet y GMC de todo Columbus, donde encuentras los carros y camionetas nuevos, cero millas al mejor precio. También contamos con más de 800 carros usados de todas las marcas en inventario. Te podemos aprobar con número ITIN y aceptamos identificación o pasaporte de tu país. En Mark Wahlberg te esperamos con los brazos abiertos. Visítanos hoy mismo, 3900 West Broad Street, al oeste de la ciudad, a un lado del casino. Te atendemos completamente en español. Márcanos ya, 833-699-0792.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Free Terrible Gamers Podcast. I'm your host Colin, here with Ashton.
What's up, guys?
Alright, got a few other from last week before we get into one for this week, because it's a pretty major one.
Yeah.
Well, probably the only thing that really crazy happened this week, but anyways, PS1 FPGA console announced.
Yeah, so Takayudan, he's a YouTuber, for those of you that don't know, I've watched him several times. He does reviews on emulation handhelds like the Odin, the Ally, and different ones. But anyway, it said that Takayudan has revealed that those who pre-order the upcoming FPGA PS1 will be able to get it for $149. The new system is compatible with the Mr. FPGA cores and is capable of running original PS1 discs via an optional add-on, which is connected via the expansion slot on the base of the system. The console will also support original PS1 controllers and memory cards and offers analog and digital output, HDMI, DIN10, VGA, component, and composite, NFC, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth. You'll also get one YC input for PS1 light guns when used on a CRT TV, a microSD card slot, 3 USB-A ports, 1 USB-C port, Ethernet, 3.5mm analog audio, and a TOS Link digital audio. And it says there's also a chance it may have been sold in the classic PS1 gray shell. But anyway, what all that basically means, I know it's a lot of abbreviations and confusing crap, but basically it's the PS1 mini that Sony should have made, is basically what it is. So, like I said, it can run PS1 discs, or it can run games off of a microSD card. And it also supports PS1 controllers, or you can use Bluetooth to use a whatever controller you want. Switch Pro, PS5, whatever. And then has HDMI, VGA, whatever output you want. And basically, that's about it. It's a pretty cool how the community is taking matters into their own hands when Sony's definitely didn't Sony definitely didn't deliver the PS1 classic. It didn't have Spyro or Crash on it, which I know that's not their IPs anymore, but still, like, that's when you think of PS1, those are two of the top franchises that you think of.
Oh yeah, especially since that was the face of their console.
Yeah, that was their mascots back then. So, I mean, for $149, I mean, that's not bad, because I don't remember what the classic PS1 was, but whatever it was charged too much for what games was worth.
They could have done about $60.
They could have.
It was just first vet done the rest.
It could have been, but either way, it's still too much because it was had crap games on it. This, you, it's literally whatever games you have in your library, disc wise, or whatever games that you back up on a micro SD card or ROMs that you get from online. However you go about it, but
doubles as an emulator, or it can play the actual disc that you do have if you have them.
Yes, and of course it'll also, I'm sure, not just play PS1 games. He didn't specify what. I mean, it just, I don't know how powerful it is. But, I mean, it's at least powerful enough to run PS1, so you know you'll be able to run NES, SNES, Game Boys, and all those. Sega, yeah. Genesis, and all that, but anything
he's
up to PS1.
And not right. saying whether it'll run, that way no one can come sue them directly.
Right.
Except for Sony if they really wanted to, but...
Yeah. So if it'll run up to PS1, I'm sure it'll run Nintendo side up to Nintendo 64.
Oh, yeah. Basically the same concept between the two.
Mm-hmm. So I thought about maybe picking one up, but I'm going to wait and see if he does release it in the PS1 gray or if it's still, because I think there's white, black, and blue for sure. And I'm going to wait and see if there's a PS1 gray before I even consider getting it.
Yeah. Because what? The N64 was the only true 64-bit system, but PlayStation 1 was basically this PlayStation's equivalent to the 64-bit.
Yeah.
Alright. On to the next one. Nintendo announces Alarmo is heading to stores.
So yeah, I don't know, it was a couple months ago that Nintendo announced Alarmo and we went over it, but it says the company revealed that its alarm clock Alarmo will be available at select retailers starting this March. The announcement includes the US, UK, and Europe. The 99 alarm clock launched late last year, but is currently only available to those with a Nintendo Switch Online subscription. It says the motion control device lets users turn it off simply by getting up, though in my experience that functionality wasn't much use if you share a bed. So basically it's for loners, I guess. I thought about getting one, but $100 for a stinking alarm clock that I wouldn't use as an alarm clock because I use my phone. So, I mean, yeah, it's cool. That's I have different Nintendo themes and stuff on it, but I wouldn't use it really even as a clock because, once again, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I look at my phone and see what time it is. I don't look at a clock. I have a bedside clock right next to my bed, but I turn it off because it's too bright and I can't sleep when there's light.
I wake up in the middle of the night, I don't look at anything.
I always look.
I'll be regretting my life because I'm like, oh, I only got this much longer to sleep.
Well, if I don't look at it, I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, I'll be depressed after I look at the time. But if I don't look at the time, I'll just keep thinking about, man, what time is it? Yeah, I bet I only have like 10 minutes left before my alarm goes off. So I got to look to make sure so I don't worry myself to death and can't get back to sleep.
What anxiety kick in.
Yeah.
Not me, I just give it away. I'm just like, yeah, I was like, if I look at the time, I'll be anxious about how long I got to sleep. Well, if I don't look at it, I'll just go back to sleep and then I'll just wake up whenever I wake up.
Yeah. Usually I can tell about what time it is depending on how long I feel like I've slept, but sometimes it's off.
Yeah. But yeah, I know I gave the alarm a hard time initially whenever we talked about it at the end of last year because that threw me off too, but I was like, oh yeah, we're in a different year now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of pointless. My ringtone to wake up is already downloaded Legend of Zelda song anyways, so it's just like, oh, it's purpose, no sense for me to get an alarm though, especially if the feature is if somebody wakes up that's not you and it'll automatically shut off.
Yeah, that kind of,
I mean, in my case that wouldn't be an issue because I'm always the first one to get up.
Me
but,
too, but yeah, I could see it getting it for a kid, like to get them up for school or whatever, but at the same time, like $99 for an alarm clock is pretty expensive when you can get one from Walmart for like $20.
Yeah. With the radio features and everything and not just snippets of Nintendo songs.
Yeah, which it's cool. Nintendo themes, Nintendo songs, whatever, but I wouldn't use it as an actual alarm clock, so it would just sit there
But yeah, you don't got much longer to wait if you do decide to get it yourself, because it is March.
March.
When it'll be for the US, UK, and Europe.
Yeah, January's already almost over, so you only got a little over a month.
I'm assuming it's already basically said that it got released last year, so I'm assuming it was just released in Japan.
I believe so, in stores, but I mean, we can get it now through the Nintendo Switch online, but like actual retailers don't have it yet over here.
Gotcha. That could have been what it was.
Yeah.
But what everybody but you had to get it from Nintendo themselves.
Yeah, I like their Nintendo Switch Online controllers, the NES controller, SNES, and Nintendo 64 controller through them.
Yeah. I got a GameCube controller for them, for the Switch.
Yeah.
But I run my emulator with on my computer.
I should use my WaveBird.
Yeah. I was never that fancy as a kid to have a WaveBird.
Oh, they're nice.
Oh, yeah. First Tecmo wireless controller.
Yeah. The only drawback is that it doesn't have Rumble, but...
Yeah. The Rumble can be annoying sometimes, though.
That's true.
Like, the other day, I forgot about the Rumble. Like, how hard they rumble. Playing Ezreal on Super Smash Melee, and he walked away for something, put his controller down, so I just mess around with character he had on stage. Throwing him off stage, and it just whenever the character fell off the stage and was done right before they responded, it just vibrated off the table. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that's how hard these things vibrated as a kid.
Yeah, and depending on what you're doing and what game, it can rumble even like really, really hard. The one that always stood out to me for the GameCube, I know we're kind of getting off topic, but I want to talk about it. So in Super Mario Sunshine, after you beat the airplane or the airstrip shine, and then you go in to Delfino Square and beat that monster there, and then the statue rises up from the goo.
Yeah.
When that statue rises up, that is the hardest that I can remember that the controller rumbles. Like, it is so hard.
It's hard, and it's probably one of the longest.
Longest, because it's the entire time that statue is rising up until it stops and you see Shadow Mario on top of it.
Like, I think that statue rises for every bit of at least 7 seconds.
Yeah, and it just makes it feel so much longer because that controller's vibrating the crap out of your hands. Like, there was no reason for them to make that rumble that hard.
I mean, I guess... That was the advantage of having a cord feature back then, but like PlayStation didn't even rumble that hard.
No, but that's always stood out to me rumble wise. Like, when I think of rumble, especially in the GameCube, that I always think of that because it's hard.
My most irritating rumble was anytime you got kicked off the foil or ATC on ATV off Red Fury.
Yeah.
Because it's like a little quick rumble, but it's just like, oh, that just happened.
Yeah, because you're aggravated, and then you feel the rumble.
You're aggravated, but somebody had the balls to kick you off your vehicle.
Yeah. I remember we always used to have, like, we would say, like, have a peace treaty or whatever, and then we'd pull up beside each other like you're going to talk, and then everybody would always kick somebody off. Or we'd gain up on somebody, and it was me and Carter playing, we'd gain up on Carter and repeatedly kick him off. One of us would. Good times.
Yeah, before the match, nobody kicks each other off till we get down to the thing, then line up.
Yeah.
Z button it is.
Yeah.
The Z button of somebody. I heard somebody call it the other day.
The Z button.
Called the Z, and he called it the Z.
I guess in... What, England? It's the Z button? Like, say Z for Z?
So. Still think it would be called Z.
You think.
They still use the alphabet.
They say Z for Z. I don't know why. It's not a word. It's a letter.
Yes. All right. Get back onto the topics here. Echo the Dolphin gets a new trademark from Sega.
Yeah, we talked about a couple weeks ago, a couple other games getting their trademarks back up from Sega, and Now, Sega has filed two new trademarks corresponding to the Echo the Dolphin franchise. Echo the Dolphin is a sci-fi action series that first debuted in 1992 for the Sega Genesis, followed by four more games up until 2000, after which it went dormant for 25 years. And it said that the recent trademark filing could signal a comeback for Echo the Dolphin, adding yet another franchise to the growing list of Sega's legacy revivals. Sega has filed a couple of new trademarks. I don't know why I repeated that. It says, the very first Echo the Dolphin game launched in December 1992 for Sega Genesis and quickly became a standout title thanks to its mind-bending sci-fi premise, unique style gameplay, and atmospheric underwater world. It was followed by four more entries, namely Echo, The Tides of Time, Echo Jr., Echo Jr. and the Great Ocean, Treasure Hunt, and Echo the Dolphin, Defender of the Future. So those I've never heard of. The only one I ever heard of was Echo the Dolphin. Mm-hmm. Says,
well, I'm assuming whatever ones would have been Dreamcast.
Probably. Says Echo the Dolphin, Defender of the Future was released in 2000 for the Sega Dreamcast and PlayStation 2. As an attempt to modernize the series. Despite the backing of a spirited fan base, Echo the Dolphin has laid dormant since then. I mean, to me, I played it when I was younger, but I just swam around. Like, I didn't actually know the point in the game, what you were supposed to do. I just swam around with the dolphin.
See, what I remember from it as a kid, which only time I played it was in the orthodontist office whenever I had my braces. So I was still, like, old enough of a kid to know, like, the difference in between, like, the different type of stuff because I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's, like, looking back on it now, they're calling it a sci-fi, which that's kind of a stretch.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're using your echolocation to potentially kill stuff, but it kind of reminds me of a Samus game. Like, I think they've taken stuff from Metroid, but they kind of made it open world at the time. Even though technically Metroid is a open world game to an extent. Because you can take any route. You don't technically have to take one route to get to XYZ.
Right.
So that's what, like, reminds me of is just kind of Sega's version of Metroid at the time. Because obviously Metroid had been out for about 6 years at that point. Or 5 years.
That's
86
true.
Or 87?
87, I think.
Because Mario was 85, Zelda was 86. It either came out the same year as Zelda or it came out a year later.
I can't remember. Look it up.
Going live.
Yeah.
I said it's one of the two. It's 86 or 87.
87. So, well, yeah, it was Mario in the U.S. In Japan, it was 86. And then August 6, 1986. And then it didn't come to America on the NES until August 1987. So a whole year later. So
it doesn't make sense why I was saying 86 or 87.
Yeah.
It was technically both.
Technically both, right. Depending on where you're from.
Yeah. Obviously, we're from over here. So it would have been 87 for the American release.
Yeah.
Which I think on Nintendo Switch Online, it does say 86 on there, so that's probably what.
Yeah, they go, for some reason, they go by the Famicom release date.
I mean, it makes sense, because they're a Japanese company.
Yeah, but, I mean, I understand why they wouldn't have two different ones on Nintendo Switch for the Japan region and then the U.S. region, but.
Oh, it'd be cool to have, actually, play the Famicom on the Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah, it would.
The games were slightly different, and difficulty spikes and everything else, which they technically have the special editions that are technically the Famicom releases.
Yeah.
From there. Or they're just ways to get ahead. Like, if you do the SP version of the original Legend of Zelda, you automatically start out with the white tunic.
Yeah, and you get a bunch of crap from the beginning.
So I guess it really depends on the game.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, Who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
So yeah, Echo the Dolphin just reminds me of Sega's knockoff of Metroid. Because how you had to traverse and everything, because I played Echo a little bit just with Nintendo Switch Online too. That's just what it reminds me of now is, like I said, as a teenager, I didn't really pay attention to it, but I do remember just traveling around like I was like, this seems like familiar to an extent. But just how you traversed, like instead of shooting a door to go for a door, you just swam for a narrow hole though to the next section. That's why I said I would call it more of an open world setting Metroid.
I might have to try, because I haven't played. I wasn't even quite a teenager whenever I played. I was probably like, I don't know, 9 or 10. So I probably didn't think to bust through walls and stuff. I was just going through the water, swimming around. So
yeah.
So now, if I played it, I might see what you're talking about, how it's kind of like a Metroidvania is that genre. So,
yeah. Okay, I guess Castlevania would have been a thing back then, too.
Yeah. Yeah, even Metroidvania.
Back then.
Yeah. Yeah, Metroidvania is, they got the genre from Metroid and then Castlevania and merged to make that one genre. So.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know what a Metroidvania genre is.
I mean, apparently in 1992, they called it a sci-fi game.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess technically today's time they're calling it a sci-fi game, but that's just what they would have related to back then. But yeah, it definitely sounds like a Metroidvania in today's time.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Kind of sticking with Sega and Nintendo combination. But Nintendo Life launches a better eShop.
So, those of you that are listening, if you've ever been on the official Nintendo Switch eShop, you probably know that it lags a lot, it's slow. No matter how fast your Wi-Fi is, the eShop kind of sucks to go through. So, Nintendo Life kind of put matters into their own hands and made their own eShop. It says, we've created customizable filters that automatically filter out spam games for you. You can help them categorize games by using the report button. It says they've replicated as best as they could the existing discoverability on the eShop while adding more of their own. Please share your feedback and ideas on different ways to browse games and we'll build those in. It says on game pages, you'll find both our own Nintendo Life review if we've reviewed it, and you can now submit user reviews of 250 words long, along with a score, which all ties into our Nintendo Life game collection system. So I've seen a lot of people complain about the Nintendo eShop, how there's no way to review the game. So there's not even a star system. So like a bunch of the indie games and stuff, you can't review to see if it's worth you know, picking up or anything. So Nintendo Life added that to theirs. And then it says, obviously, they've also made the better eShop much faster to browse, added a dark mode, and optimized it for mobile phones. It said they've added a cart slash basket system, so you can add and remove games to or from your cart. However, as a limitation of the actual eShop, you'll still need to buy each game individually. It says, finally, they added music. As you know, the Nintendo Switch eShop has, it's just quiet. While the Wii had music, the 3DS had music, the Wii U had music, and then the Switch is just, it's just quiet. And it says, please note that this project is a work in progress. They are still working on importing data, categorization, default settings, and plenty more. It says that they aren't the first to create an eShop alternative. However, they believe the first step will get them ready for Switch 2 and whatever Nintendo decides to do with its digital storefront. So, basically, just quality and life improvements for the eShop. If you'd rather buy the games through them to play on your Switch, you can do that.
Yeah, but then they can technically make their own prices and stuff like that, too. I mean, I'm still sure they'll be competitive with the eShop.
Yeah, I haven't actually went on there to see how it's set up. But yeah, they could kind of make their own pricing. That way they kind of get a cut of it as well. But knowing Nintendo Life, they probably wouldn't do that, but you never know.
I mean, it seems like a good idea. It's just that hump and if Nintendo actually tries to go after him or not.
I think it would depend on if they plan on just using the same exact eShop on the Switch 2 or not. If they plan on just completely revamping the eShop, they probably wouldn't worry about it. But if it's going to be the exact same one, then you might take a chance on them going after them for it. Kind of like how they went after Riot Jinx, even though Riot Jinx didn't do anything wrong, because we already know that the cartridges are going to be around the same size, so the games are going to be so close, so it would be easy to emulate Switch 2 games right on Riot Jinx as well. So, mm-hmm.
And Nintendo themselves even said, oh yeah, emulation's not illegal, we just don't like other companies doing that to our IPs.
Yeah.
They straight up said that the other day. I've seen an article on it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, emulation's not illegal, it's just how people go about getting the games is what's illegal.
So like you as a person, well, I guess it's basically a whole like technical TikTok situation right now to an extent. A little less holes and stuff to jump through, but yeah, it's basically to cut and dry. Like, oh yeah, it's because it's not on the App Store or Google Play Store anymore.
Right.
So it's basically the same situation with that. It's okay. It's here. It's not here.
I've seen people.
It's okay to have, but it's how you go get it.
I've seen people that still had TikTok installed on their phone or selling their phones for like $50,000, and people are buying them.
Well, they don't fucking bird.
Mm-hmm.
Like 12 years ago now. That's rough.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, that's what people was doing with fucking bird whenever it got taken off the App Store.
Yeah.
People were selling their iPhone 8s for, you know, I think $6,000-$7,000 at the time.
Even though if you downloaded it before and you have an iPhone, I'm talking about Flappy Bird, not TikTok, but Flappy Bird, you can still download it now. You can go to your purchase history or your download history and still download it if you've downloaded it before on your account. A lot of people don't know that, but like right now I could download Flappy Bird if I wanted to because I've got it before. But TikTok you can't because it's been completely banned by the government. Well, it's unbanned, but you still can't get it on the App Store. But
because it's illegal for the companies right now.
Yeah.
Just not people actually using kids. Like emulation. It was a good emulation analogy right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Illegal for the companies to technically have how they obtain it. It's just not illegal to actually use if you have it.
Right.
All right. to skip this big old long topic or to just do it and say screw this week's topic. Give them actual news. We're going to go down to Developer Direct.
Okay.
Even though it's only 4 minutes.
Yeah. Come on. Open up. All right. I just used the whole link instead of getting notes around. I just used the link as my notes.
That's fair. I've done that a couple times.
Yeah. So, try to go through this pretty quick. Everything that was announced at the 2025 Xbox Developer Direct. We had Doom the Dark Ages launching May 15th, 2025. South of Midnight launching April 8th, 2025. I guess I should say for what they're launching for. Doom the Dark Ages launching for Xbox Series, Xbox app for Windows PC, Steam, PlayStation 5, and play it day one on Game Pass. South of Midnight, it is launching on Xbox Series, Xbox app for Windows PC, Steam, Cloud, and play it on day one with Game Pass. No PS5 release for that one. Next, we have Claire Obscure Expedition 33, launching April 24th, 2025 for Xbox Series X and S, Xbox app for Windows PC, and play it day one with Game Pass. Ninja Gaiden 4, launching Fall 2025 for Xbox Series, Xbox app for Windows PC, Steam, Cloud, PlayStation 5, and play it day one with Game Pass. Ninja Gaiden 2 Black was available the day of the Developer Direct, so it's available now, time recording. And when you hear this, of course, and it released on Xbox Series, Xbox app for Windows PC, and play it day one with Game Pass. And it says, looking ahead, as with every Developer Direct, today's show marks just a selection of the games coming to Xbox this year. Next up is Avowed, Obsidian's Entertainment upcoming fantasy RPG, which launches on February 18th, 2025 for Xbox Series, the Xbox app for Windows PC, Battle.net, Steam, Cloud, and will be available on day one with Game Pass. It says, with our own studios and incredible partners working on new experiences, stay tuned to Xbox Wire and Xbox social channels this year to see why there's never been a better time to be an Xbox player. And that's it.
Avowed coming on my birthday.
It sure is. So my favorite from this list was Doom, the new Doom game.
Why was Ninja Gaiden?
That's fair.
I beat Ninja Gaiden 2 Black whenever it was free on Xbox Live Gold back in the day. So I've already beat it once. I may go back and play it again. Actually, I'm not even sure if it was 2 Black. Because I think 2 had free games, technically. It may have been one of the other two.
I know what you're talking about, which one was Get Free with Gold, but I can't remember the name, which one it was.
It may have even been Ninja Gaiden Free.
It might have been.
But I beat that one. I never bothered playing the one on the NES, because I know that's what the original one is. Ninja Gaiden is on the NES. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if it released for anything else back in the day.
I doubt it. That's pretty much in a league of its own back then.
So the fact that they waited so long for Ninja Gaiden 2 at that point.
Yeah.
The sounding in itself. But yeah. And then probably my second is definitely Doom.
Doom. Yes, Doom the Dark Ages. It says it's a prequel to the critically acclaimed Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal. So, Doom Eternal, for those of you that haven't played it, it is such a good game, and it's on Game Pass. You should try it out. But it's a prequel to those games, so that's pretty cool.
Which, at the beginning of this direct trailer day, what do we said? All the games are going to be Game Pass day one.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, it's an Xbox Developer Direct. So.
Yeah. Granted, they're not, you know, it surprised me with Ninja Gaiden, and I was like, oh yeah, it's technically not a, they're partnered with Xbox, but they're not technically a IP or
right.
Just Xbox.
Right. So yeah, they'll be on PS5 as well. But.
Yeah. Like I said, that's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
That's
I
fair.
Kind of played Ninja Gaiden too earlier, but I was like, wait. But I was decided to go do a Terminus Easter egg without guided mode. Finally got it today.
Nice.
Yeah, it was rough.
I bet.
We decided to wait till like round 31 to go in.
Nice.
Rough.
Yeah, it is rough.
I did get the ray gun from Ski today.
Did you?
Yeah. I was like, I ain't seen the ray gun since I first downloaded this game.
I always use the Wonder Bar, so I usually get the ray gun.
Ran out of those pretty quick, but I usually got whichever the actual Wonder Weapon was for the map.
Yeah. With the Game Pass, you pick up Wonder Bar gums pretty often. And plus, Prestigion gives you a gun pack, too. Each time you prestige.
I don't guess I ever pay attention to it. But that is all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you for watching or listening. Follow us on our socials at TikTok. You know, granted, if you still have it or not. Facebook, Instagram. Got merch on Redbubble and TeePublic. And I think that's it.
Yep. Appreciate you guys. We'll catch you next week.
Later, guys.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.